You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
Brilliant. So we've got Siobhan and Brendan here to talk to us about the very first London Irish Short Play Festival, which I understand is affectionately known as LISP.
Hashtag LISP.
Thanks so much for coming in. What I'd like to ask you to start off is, start with Brendan perhaps. What's the aim of the festival?
Well, it appears that the aim of the festival is to give, I suppose, up-and-coming playwrights or people that have had ideas in their head for a long time, to give them an opportunity, like Killian and Sharon, who are spearheading the festival. They had an opportunity before and they kind of seem to want to give something back and give that, pass that opportunity on to someone else, which actually is a really nice idea. It's that they want to see other people get the same opportunity that they once had. And I think it's a really nice ethos or idea behind the festival.
Well, Sean, you're nodding furiously there. You agree with that?
Yes, yeah. Because I think Killian Sharon, they're in the Biscuits for Breakfast Theatre Company, and they came over from Dublin 3 years ago. And yes, they had an opportunity. I think they were given a deadline and they did a 10-minute short play. Cobalt Cafe, I think it was
in Dublin. Yeah.
Yeah, to do something on Liza Minnelli, which you may have seen, which is absolutely fantastic. And it started out as a short piece and they've developed it. And
I think it started out as 10 minutes.
Yes,
and now it's gone over an hour.
Yeah, and as Brendan said, they want to give other writers, actors, people that opportunity as well that they had. And they said that, you know, they had to get it done to a deadline. That spurred them on and things have grown from there.
The festival's going to run from the 20th of October to the 23rd of October.
Yeah.
And so you've got performances starting at 7:30. And they are performances. It's six short plays in an evening. How's that going to work?
God only knows. I think that's a really exciting prospect. Yeah. And like here we are. We've been talking about that here as well, and we're playwrights. We're lucky enough to be part of it, and we actually don't even know how that's going to play out. I'd love to be a fly on the wall at the rehearsals to see how they string it all together and that kind of organic process that must be a part of it. There must be an element of saying, no, we can't do that. We'll try this. We'll try that. And I think it'll be very exciting.
Yeah. And I mean, also, I'm not just going to be a fly on the wall because I'm acting one of the parts, so I'll see how it all progresses. But that is a good question. I mean, it may be that there's just one basic set that gets altered for each play. So you've got all the basic big pieces of props there that will stay where they are. But I'm intrigued as well. I know from doing bits and pieces of fringe theatre over the years that sometimes you just can incorporate the scene changes then into the performance. So I'm not sure. I know Sharon and Killian could probably answer that a lot better than we could at the minute.
I'm sure actually another thing that's going to be important is the fact that the order that the players appear in is going to be crucial to that whole process. And that'll be interesting to see how they do that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I like that. It's a kind of air of mystery, isn't it? And I'm looking at the running order with different eyes now, wondering how they do dovetail together. But tell me, you say you're acting. There's a reason why you're acting in your own play, isn't there?
There's a couple. One that I have done acting before, and I think, as I said, I'm not a professional actor with an equity card or anything like that, but I've done some fringe theatre and poetry and storytelling performances. So I do enjoy performing. So there was a two-way thing. One was I thought, oh, I'd love to get back into performing again. But also, I had originally written a script that it was going to be about two Belfast women. I thought there'd be Belfast actors crawling out of the woodwork. But we actually didn't find somebody else from Belfast or the north of Ireland to do the other part. And we've now got, there's a lovely Galway woman that I'm acting with, and she will keep her own accent. We'll just adapt the play that it's a Galway woman and a Belfast woman. So, yeah, there's two things. If I didn't act in it, I don't know if we'd get another Belfast actor, but I did want that opportunity as well to act and write in it because I just love performing. And as Brenton was saying, for Sharon and Killian to give us this opportunity, it's just fantastic.
Tell us a little bit about your play then.
Well, My play was based on something that I had been thinking about personally myself. You know, I'm in my 50s now and I've been in London for 33 years. Originally came thinking I'd stay a few months and here I am, still here. And due to a lot of circumstances, my father dying, lots of things that have happened back in Belfast and here, I started to think, do I want to go home? You know, I've always felt, do I belong in Belfast? Do I belong in London? If you move away from somewhere, do you really belong anywhere? Where do you belong? And that's been going around in my head a long time, to the point where I just thought, when I saw that this festival were looking for people, I thought I should put those ideas down, that there's a couple, and I made it a lesbian couple, because I do think it's very important that all different sexualities, genders are represented, because the Irish community is very diverse. And one wants to move back to Ireland. It was trying to explore, well, why would she want to move back, and what would this effect have on a relationship? If she does move back, or certainly really strongly feels that's what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm. And Brendan, do you want to give us a little snapshot of yours?
I suppose mine has roots in 2009 when the GAA was celebrating its 125-year anniversary.
And for people who don't know the GAA, what is that?
The GAA is the Gaelic Athletic Association, and I come from a, I suppose, your typical Irish rural background where that's steeped in the GAA, steeped in hurling and steeped in Gaelic football. And that year was a very special year for anyone that was involved in the GAA, which is a huge amount of people in Ireland. And at home, one element of the GAA is this score competition. And a score is a kind of a cultural arm of the GAA. So they have singing, dancing, poetry recitals and novelty acts. The novelty act is a 10-minute play. So I was really interested in kind of doing something that year. And I had this idea kind of burning in my head for a while. So I just jotted it all down. And myself and seven other friends performed it that year as part of this score competition. And we had great fun doing it. And I suppose we actually progressed to the next stage of the competition, but eventually we were knocked out. But it's just been sitting on my hard drive ever since. So when this opportunity came up, I said, do you know something? Maybe lots of Irish people can relate to this topic, because the GAA is such an important part of Irish life. So that was really it.
Uh-huh. So you're not a playwright by vocation then?
No, I'm most certainly not. I'm a teacher. I taught in Ireland for 10 years and then I moved over in 2013. So I'm relatively new off the boat. And I teach in a prep school in outer London now. And I really enjoy my job. I really enjoy it. But I think ever since I was in school, I've always enjoyed writing. And I can still remember. It's amazing when a teacher gives you praise for a piece of writing and you can still remember it. And I think those things stick in your head. And the opportunity now to actually see something I've written go on stage, being performed by other people, and someone else's interpretation of it being put on stage, is actually really exciting.
Mm-hmm. You've both spoken about, in a sense, what you are looking to get out of this. And is that to be able to do more playwriting?
I love writing, and you know, I've done bits and pieces in devised theatre groups, but this is the first time I've certainly written anything just that I on my own. And even though it's not that long, about 15, 20 minutes, I would like to develop my skills and move on, if it's possible, to writing three-act plays or longer pieces, and you know, develop my writing. I'd really like to do that.
Well, that does sound exactly what Cillian and Sharon were looking for.
Yes, yeah. And I really, really appreciate the opportunity that they've given me and given everybody else to do that. Mm-hmm.
So, for me, the clue is in the title. It's the Irish Short Play Festival. But is it purely for people with an Irish connection, or are there more universal themes?
I think it definitely, I suppose, for my play is definitely a very Irish theme. And like that, if you nearly have to be familiar with the history of the GAA to understand what's going on. It's kind of a Blackadder-esque take on it. So you kind of, if you know the history...
You haven't got Tony Robinson in there. Well,
it's a bit of fun. It's actually more of a farce than anything else. So unless you're familiar with the history, the actual history, it's probably harder to relate. However, Shuan's play is very universal. This idea of two people in a relationship, one wants one, one thing one wants another. Like, that's good. I get the sense from the other plays that there are a lot of universal themes in there. So that I think that there will be something for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Certainly yours is a very specialised one, and I'm looking forward to seeing that, because I know certainly in Belfast, with all the political divisions, the GAA, that can be a hotbed of politics. But I do, from speaking to friends from other cultures and other countries, and even other parts of, you know, England. I mean, I have a friend from Somerset who actually related to what I was saying, because she's living in London now, and she just thinks, where do I belong anymore? So I think, you know, it just doesn't maybe appeal to Irish people, this whole sense of, once you move from somewhere, where do you belong anymore? I think that is a fairly universal theme. Mm. And the whole theme of relationships, whatever gender or whatever your sexuality, it's about a relationship, and people have the same feelings and the same reactions to things, I'm sure, you know, across the board, probably.
I know one of the plays as well, is actually, one of the plays is called Dear Michael, and it's about writing, like, it's, the key thing is, I think, is writing letters home. And, like, that's a huge, that's a thing across cultures,
yes,
the thing of writing home. And I'm sure, as Irish people, we will relate to much of the content of those letters. But, like, at the same time, people do emigrate throughout the world, and they can relate to the idea of writing home or hearing from home.
Yes.
So that again is a very typical universal theme.
Mm. Well, yes, because we are so much more multicultural, aren't we? So many, many different nationalities must be in that position now in London. Yeah,
definitely. And I also think with mine, it also looks at, you know, one of the women's in her 50s now and is thinking, well, I'm getting older, and I want to grow old in London? And I think that brings up a lot of stuff, you know, that there's a lot of older Irish people here, people who have been here a long time, who, even though they might feel they've settled, they're not always happy about being here, and yet it's maybe it's too late to go back home, and it's trying to look at that. I think that this, one of my characters is trying to maybe think, if I do something about it now, you know, I'll get back to Ireland before I retire or before I'm a pensioner, and I'll be back settled. And the other woman saying, but what if you don't settle down? And it is, you know, looking at that whole ageing process in the Irish community too, you know, for older or middle-aged people.
I can remember friends of my parents saying, one day I will move home. Mm. And they did, and they were so unhappy. They ended up coming back.
Yes.
And I think as well, I remember hearing a quote before, and it always stuck with me, that you really don't know what it's like to be Irish until you actually leave Ireland. and you're looking back and kind of seeing what it is. You're kind of looking at it more objectively about what it is to be Irish.
Yeah.
And I think, even though it is going to have a lot of universal themes, I think it's also very important that Irish people who maybe are not theatre goers or who have never even been to the London Irish Centre, which I'm sure there are many, especially young people, that would take the opportunity to do something. This actually sounds like a really good night's entertainment.
Yes.
And go along and actually and have a really nice experience of what it is to be Irish in London as well.
I know, I remember Sharon telling us that she actually felt more Irish in London than she did in Dublin.
That's an alien,
which is exactly what you're saying, really, isn't it? Yeah.
It's an interesting point as well, as what's Irish, because coming from Belfast, you know, I'm told I'm British, and then, of course, I feel I'm Irish, and probably then second-generation Irish people who maybe born here of Irish parents, is that those issues too of identity. And I think that's right. You know, what's Irish? Irish, I think, is probably a whole lot of different things depending on which part of Ireland you come from or your different experiences. So I think, it is a very diverse thing. And hopefully there'd be something that would interest people. You know, maybe they might think, I don't want to see something of the GAA, but I might want to see something about letter, whatever, you know what I mean?
I think they have gone
something to appeal to everybody.
I think they have gone to a huge effort to bring in something for everyone.
Yes.
Because there's such a variety of themes.
Yeah.
And that, even from, I suppose, very nostalgic to farce, and everything in between, that is going to be a very important part of it as well.
Yeah.
So just to reiterate, it is it's the London Irish Short Play Festival. It's at the Irish Centre in Camden, and you can go on the website to find out a bit more about it. I understand the tickets are just £12 for six plays, which does seem something of a bargain, doesn't it? And it's starting on the 20th of October and running through, including the 23rd, so four evenings of entertainment.
I think there's live music after it as well.
I think so. Could I also say that the money won't go to the actors or writers? It's actually gone into the Irish Centre Welfare Fund. The Irish Centre does a lot of work with the Irish community in terms of homelessness and welfare advice.
Oh,
yeah,
fabulous.
Vulnerable people, older people. They provide lunches for Irish pensioners, and they run a tea dance and help people with, you know, homeless problems, all kinds of things. Yeah. So all the money raised will go in to fund that work and keep that going.
Exactly. It's for an excellent cause.
Well, thank you for letting us know that. So apart from that wonderful fundraising, what would you like to see coming out of this festival? Presumably another one next year, but anything else?
I think I would like to see the people involved developing their work and you know, getting a chance to do that and be able to write more. And another festival next year, but you know, maybe a way of developing it. I mean, it'd be lovely to have, you know, maybe workshops, but you know, all that takes time and organisation. But maybe some writing workshops could develop out of it, or you know, there could be lots of possibilities.
Well, I think Sharon and Killian of Biscuits for Breakfast have so much energy. I
wouldn't
know. Be surprised they would take that on.
Yes.
Does it? I think actually, it would be an amazing thing if in a couple of years' time, if one of the productions suddenly got the treatment that Killian and Sharon's play got, and suddenly you could say, like, I was part of that festival, that play was first discovered. That would be an amazing experience.
Yes.
to be part of that. And I think going forward, and I'm sure it will be a big success, you'll have an awful lot of other people that have got stuff sitting in their drawer or ideas sitting in their head, and they'll put them on paper and submit. And it could be the start of something really special.
Yeah, because I think theatre can all sometimes alienate people. I think it's a way out there somewhere, like Shakespeare. It's like for middle class people. It's not for us. And I'm just an ordinary working class person, and I love writing. And it's hopefully to make just people think that no, writing and performing things, and you know, anybody can have an opportunity to do that, and to give people that opportunity, and not make it elitist or anything, if you know what I'm saying. That we are very cultural people, aren't we, Irish people? And we'll get up and
I think that's something that we are
the
most
drop
proud
of a hat.
Of.
Yeah,
we're very proud of that idea that we have music, song, dance, everything. And this isn't just another element of it. And I think it could be the start of something very special.
Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in. And I hope it's a really, really successful festival.
Thank you.
Thank you very much
for inviting us. Thanks.
You're listening to a download from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.